Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, May the 21st, 2017.
Good morning. My name is David Prairie. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace. I want to welcome you to our services this morning. Here at Grace Baptist Church, we are a redeemed community. We exist to gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. I hope those announcements on the screen were beneficial for you this morning. If you need clarification on some of those or to see what else is going on at Grace, I hope you received a bulletin. Our ushers are in the lobby passing these out, so if you missed one, you can go back and get one. But there's a lot of good information here so that you can stay up to date on some things that are happening. We want to start the service by recognizing our high school seniors. So the ones that are here, I'm going to ask them to come up to the stage with me. And Pastor Ben's going to come up as well with them so that we can kind of pray over them. And these are not all of them. We have a pretty good senior class this year. Should we recognize them by name or should we? We should? Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to pass this on down, and then Pastor Ben will receive this at the end. Just say your name and where you're graduating from. I will say that this Wednesday in our youth ministry is what we call senior night, and so we'll have a dinner for them and their parents and the rest of our students at 5:30 in the brick room, and then at 6:30 we will have a service in there to kind of honor them, and they'll have a chance to share even more with their peers about their future and where they believe God is leading them. We'll have a gift for them on that night, and so that's kind of our way of recognizing them and thanking them for their involvement and their commitment. Several of them have been on mission trips that we've talked about, or thank you for joining us, or various other activities around town. They've been involved in discipleship groups, and so now we're excited to see how the Lord uses them to disciple others in the future. So introduce yourselves, tell where you're graduating from, and then Pastor Ben will pray over you guys.
Hello, my name is Roman Creed, and I'm graduating, I've been homeschooled, so I guess from my room.
My name is Kiara Jones, and I'm graduating from Ivy Academy.
I'm Josh Myrick, and I graduated from Moodwa High School.
Michael Torner, also homeschooled, and also graduated from my room.
I'm Austin Smith, and I graduated from Grace Academy.
I'm Nathan Merritt, and I'm going to graduate from Grace Baptist Academy.
I'm Victoria Parks, and I am also graduating from Grace Academy.
Emily Beasley, and guess what? Grace Academy.
We got one more, too. Now, these are our high school grads, and I don't want to take from that. We do have one more if you want to come up. While I'm doing that, how many of you are looking here and just thinking, wow, I changed that kid's diaper? Got a few of those out there, right? Look at all these people that know what your bottom looks like or used to, right? Isn't that great? Now, congratulations to all of you. This is wonderful. You didn't think we were going to talk about your bottoms and say that word in the middle of church, huh? Yeah, there we go. All right, but we do want to bring up our other graduate here. This is Dwayne Beach graduating. You can share kind of where you're heading from. Yeah, we can clap for him, too. That works. Grabbing a second master's degree. Tell us just real quickly about that.
Yeah, I got a second master's degree from Knox Theological Seminary down in Florida and came back to walk at the graduation and then spent some time here at Grace, and it's a real honor to be here.
Yeah, so we're glad to have him. And Dwayne Beach, for anyone who may not know, and for those who do know, he is ministering in Germany. He is one of our sent missionaries and ministering to primarily to American military in Vilseck, Germany. And so he's going to be sharing with us later on today. I'll let this kind of serve as the introduction. But I want to give a congratulations to all of these folks and just show them how proud we are of them. Let me pray over you guys. Father, we do thank you so much for each one of these seniors, for all of the people here who have invested in their lives over the years. And God, we are thankful to have had that opportunity. As they move toward graduation, toward college, toward the work world, military, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray that you guide their steps, that everywhere they go, they will be going for you, for your glory, by your Holy Spirit. God, may you do wonderful things in their lives as you continue to grow them in wisdom and stature and your favor and man's. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Atoning sacrifice.
Atoning sacrifice. Keeper of this life. Hallelujah. You are Savior. Beginning and the end. Forgiver of my sin.
Thankful that you are the Shepherd King. We thank you that you lead us and guide us. And we pray that as we open our hearts to your word this morning, that we would see that clearly, that you love us and you care deeply for us and our way and our path. So help us to trust in you, for it's in your Son's great and mighty name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We're going to go ahead and bring the ushers forward, and I think most of them have some of these faith promise cards that we intended to get out earlier. You can help them out as kind of pass those down as they're coming through. So you guys want to come on forward. I'm going to pray over our offering and then want to talk about some things about our missions giving with you. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you just for an opportunity here to give. And God, we know that everything that goes into these plates, it is not ours to begin with, but something you have allowed to us to steward. And so God, for everything that that is given here, may it be an act of worship. And God, may it go forward to spread your glory throughout this church, this city, this nation, this world, for your good, your glory. And God, may we just see the blessing of getting to watch you bear fruit through the tithes and offerings that we give at this time. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Some of you were at the Gather Report back in April as we went through just kind of where we're at in our faith promise, our missions giving, where we're at this point. So I wanted to share some of those things with you. We'll have these things over behind me here on the slide. So faith promise, what this is, we've called it faith promise. It's also missions giving. You'll see both of those on the offering envelope as well as in the online giving and anywhere that you may give. But over the years, we as a church have committed together as a body, and we vote every time we've brought somebody into our mission family. But we at this point have chosen to support over 70 career individuals or families. Some of those are sent, as in they're members of this church. Some of those are supported, they're members elsewhere, but we have come alongside them to help the work that the Lord has given them to do. And when we talk about support, that is their salary. As many of you have a salary, everything that they get is for their salary, but not just that, their salary, their benefits, their ministry expenses, their travel expenses to come back and give reports on what they're doing and what the Lord's doing. All of that comes from the support that they raise. And that number, having over 70 here supported it as a church, that is a very large, compared to almost anywhere, a very large amount of support, a lot of folks to support. And while our missions and faith promise budget has decreased just slightly, as in some folks have retired from the mission field or come off for various other reasons, while that has decreased, our giving has actually decreased even more. So, and I think our next slide will show some of the reasons for that as well. Part of what we've seen here as we've kind of looked at it is we've got several folks, as some of our folks in the church have aged a little bit, we've had several retirees come in, and as people retire, typically your income goes down, and so your giving would as well. That's no problem. That's to be expected. But where we've struggled is that our new missions giving, new folks, younger folks who have come in, have not kept up with some of the decline elsewhere. Not a lot of individuals, but it is something that we need to address. I think if you look there, this is kind of looking at the year by year. This was as of the end of March, so the first quarter. You see kind of where our gap was. 2015 was a great year. Giving is in green, and the actual expenses, the support that we're sending out is in red, or at least what we are trying to send out. And so 2015 was wonderful. We had some extra. We've had reserves. 2016 ate into that a little bit, but 2017 has really been a struggle for faith promise and missions giving. And so we can move back on there a little bit. So we need to move past that. So again, our first quarter shortfall, here's some really good news. It was $13,600. That's not the good news. The good news is that we had a donation come in that completely wiped that out. So that came in April. So April looks really strong. But as we shared in the Gather report, unless we get the new commitments coming in for regular missions giving, in just a few months, we're going to be back in the same position that we were initially. And so the end of April right now, we are, for the year, we're around $5,500 under budget for our missions income. What you need to understand is our missions, we have a missions budget, missions faith promise, and then we have a general fund budget. Those are separate items, and we'll talk about how you give to each of those in just a minute. And so we need to correct this shortfall because our missionaries are extremely important. We have committed as a church to be able to support them and help them in the ministry that the Lord has called them to. We want to be a part of that. And we need to correct that before we're able to move on to other things such as building projects and those kinds of things. This is where we are at for the year. That's just kind of showing you just graphically. Again, April was a stellar month, but still that brings in that large donation to make up where we were before. So we still have that shortfall. If we go forward here, we'll see a little bit more about where we need to go at this point. So this is how we give to missions, right? So if you have your offering envelope, and you can grab these if you don't have one, they're all over the place in the foyer, on the info booth, and the welcome centers, all those kind of things. The regular offering, that's our general fund. Some of that goes to various mission projects and missions that we do straight out of here as a church. But the bulk of our missions, where all of our missionary support comes from, is that part on there that says missions and faith promise. Those two things go to the same line item. The difference is, faith promise, if you're writing your amount on there, that is going to a commitment that you would have made on this card likely toward the end of last year. And so it goes toward kind of offsetting what was already planned. Missions giving, if you just write in the amount there, that is going to go to the same budget line, but it's something that you hadn't previously committed. So it's either an addition to something you committed before, or maybe you hadn't committed and you gave some. And so that's how you actually give to missions. We can move on here and show some things that we can do. So What we need to do is really, I know it sounds like, okay, we're way off and this is so difficult, but really just a $10 increase per member of the church per month would completely erase the gap. Great thing about the budget, the way that we set up the budget this year, because our missions budget, what we actually have to send out and support, is a little bit lower than it had been before, we have a part built in there to increase our reserve. And so because that's in there, all we need is kind of the ongoing monthly support to rebuild our reserve and to be right where we need to be. And so our goal in total is $4,000 in new or increased commitments per month, but to have those commitments in by the end of June. And knowing this church and our commitments and missions, I don't think that's anything drastic. Now, here's the thing. We are not saying, okay, everybody in here owes us $10 a month. That would be wonderful. But we do also understand that there are some families that, you know what, $10 a month per person in our family is no big deal. In fact, we can do more. But there are some where that's going to be a struggle. There are people here with 8 children, and that gets to be a lot, right? And so there are some, that, of course, that will need to give more, some that may not be able to do as much. But what we would ask is that you would prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you do to help support missions. As you think about what we need to do, we have to think about sacrifice a little bit. And because really the end result, if we are not able to do this, the reason that we are presenting this today is come the end of the quarter, if we don't have what we need, we're going to have to, with the missions committee, look at ways to make reductions. And that is something we really don't want to do, because that means our missionaries have to make the sacrifice. I'd rather that we do that as a church. And so that's what we're going to try to do. And it may be that we as a church can make sacrifices from other programming and things that we do to be able to meet that gap. But the last thing that we want to do, but we may have to, is to work with our missionary support levels. Here's what you can do. Now, we showed the faith prompt, or the, I'm sorry, the offering envelope earlier. If you don't give through the offering envelope, the other thing that you need to do is on your check in the memo line, make sure that you write either faith promise or missions giving. Again, faith promise if you're giving to something that's been committed already, or missions giving if this is in addition to something that came in through the faith promise. You can also go online and give anytime, and it's kind of hard to see up here probably, but there's a section there that says faith promise and one that says missions giving. Just make sure that as whatever giving you're doing, if you want it to go to missions, that you designate in the right way so that we know that that's where your funding is going. If you don't, that's going to go to general fund. Now, as we talk about this, what we want to be careful of is that we don't take money away from one line to put it in another, right? Right now, we're doing great in our general fund. We're actually a little bit ahead of where we need to be. That doesn't mean, okay, no, just forget about giving. No, we need that, and we can do great ministry with it. But what we're looking to do is to increase our giving as a church, as a whole, into faith promise and missions giving. And this is one, every time I say this, I tell people I feel uncomfortable doing this, but I do want you to know, because I want you to know that I am a part of this. Judith and I, we increased our faith promise coming into the year. As we looked at the reduction, we have increased that again. And I wouldn't ask you to do that if it wasn't something that we were willing to do, and not just willing to do, but really excited to do ourselves. And I've said many a time that there has never been a time in my life that I have ever regretted giving. Giving anything to the church, to missions, there's not been a time that I've given and said, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. I messed up. I need that back. I have spent money on all kinds of dumb stuff that I regret, all kinds of things to serve myself, but never on missions, anything given to the church. And I say this as an encouragement. The last thing I ever want, I think I've said the two last things I never want, so they're both at the bottom. I don't want anyone to feel pressured to give. If you are giving because you feel like it's an obligation, something you have to do, that it's some kind of work that's going to earn you anything, or if you're just going to feel ashamed, that's not what we're going for. What we want to do is look at the incredible work that our missionaries are accomplishing and how our support goes to help them through that and get excited about that. Now, I made a little bit of a commitment at the Gather Report, and nobody yelled at me for doing it, even though it might be dumb. But what I said was, you know what, it may be, Maybe you have never been a giving family, or maybe you've been giving, but you haven't given to missions. And here's kind of the commitment I made that may be dumb. I'll do it again anyway, but the treasurer hasn't yelled at me yet, and he's not in here right now, so I think he went to count. So we're okay. I want to do it again. If you give, and within the next 90 days, you regret doing it, we'll give it back. This does not include if you just come into the office and say, yeah, I gave 100 grand and I regret it. It has to be actually recorded that you gave that, right? We're not just doing a loan. Fred gives me this look like, what? No. Right? So, but we just feel that strongly about giving that I think you're going to really just enjoy it and get excited about it. And that's what the Bible is talking about with a cheerful giver, that you can give in a way that you just enjoy it. So give it a shot. I think we may have a couple more things to look through up here. I want to make sure I covered everything and didn't forget anything that we were talking about. Yes, the Faith Promise Card. We have to mention these. So they should have been handed out by the ushers. As you go out today, the ushers are going to be standing at the doors for a few reasons. Number one, to say goodbye to you, make sure you have everything you need. Number two, as Dwayne comes to speak in just a minute, as we're heading out, we want to be able to give him a love offering. So anything that goes into the plate and the doors on the way out, that is not designated, that's going to go to Dwayne and helping his ministry, as we are excited about that. These Faith Promise Cards, the ushers will have these as you leave. So you can take one, take it with you, prayerfully consider it. They're also available in the information booth, at the missions kiosk, and at each of the welcome centers on your way out. They are all over the place. And so if you get one of those, take it home, or if you already know what you're going to do, go ahead and fill it out, hand it to an usher, or put it in one of the drop boxes on the information booth just outside of these doors here, and we will make sure we get those. What I want to tell you is on here, what this is not saying, okay, this is my commitment for next year, or this is not, and it's also not a reminder of what you pledged at the end of this year. This is all additional. These are for new commitments or increases in commitments. So let's say you were giving $100 a month. That was your commitment that you made in 2016 for 2017, and you're going to increase that to $150 per month, right? So then on here, all you would do is put $50 per month in 2017, okay? Does that make sense? So that's all we're doing. And if it's a new commitment, again, just write it on there, and that'll be what's committed for the remainder of the year. You don't have to put your name on that. You're welcome to if you want to. And that could be per week. It could be per month. You can write in something else if you would like as well. I also know that a lot of times we have folks who like to give at the end of the year in December. You realize, hey, some folks, just the way you receive your income, it works better that way. Some of you realize, I need to give to help my taxes. We would love it if you were able to just kind of anticipate that and start giving now, so we see what's really going to be available, or just write on their end of year what you anticipate giving, just so we have an awareness, because what we would hate to happen is, okay, we've got a lot of folks planning to give at the end of the year, as often happens, and then we don't know about it, so we make some reductions that we didn't really need to. So if you could, that's what we're asking from the church. Again, we want it to be something that we are excited about. We want it to be prayerful. We don't want it to be anything that you feel you have been guilted into doing, but I am promising you that it is a great joy to do it. I would just ask you in joining in, helping make sure that our missions program continues to grow and be as wonderful as it always has been, especially as we have the Prairies getting ready to go to the field. We want to make sure that the Prairie family is completely supported. We are ready to carry on their support as they get ready to go. And we even want to start that soon, because what we give to the Prairie family now will build up their initial launch funds that will get them to the field quicker. And we want to help them with that, because we are excited about what the Lord has for them. So let me pray over this, and we will continue in our worship time. Father, we do thank you just for this time. I know it's been an extended time, and I just pray that you would guide all of us to what it is you would like for us to give, whether it be something sacrificial, something additional that you choose to bless people with. But Lord, may you, through us, care for these missionaries, God, and carry your gospel forward. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
And I know Ben said a word a minute ago, but it's always a joy to have Dwayne with us, and appreciate him and his friendship. Dwayne, Lord bless you as you share with us.
Thank you so much, Fred. Man, I have been looking forward to this. I think I emailed, I actually looked up in my emails, I emailed Pastor Ben October of 2016 and said, hey, I'm going to be back in the States. I would love to come up and do anything I can do to serve at Grace on May 21st, if that's a possibility. And then we emailed back and forth and set it up. And so for over 6 months, I've been looking forward to this opportunity to come back to our home church. 2 years ago, we were back for the summer and got to spend some time here. And it kind of reminded Daylin and I how important it is to be back here more often. We really missed it had been 4 years, I think, before that, since we had been back. And then being back 2 years ago just reminded us how much we love Grace, how much we miss seeing you and connecting with you. And so one of the things we want to do in the future is find times and find ways to reconnect and come back over. And also, we were just talking in Sunday school. I think it's been 10 years since Fred brought a team over to help us. I saw Scott Hicks. I don't know where Scott is, but brought Scott and several other people over to help with a soccer camp. And 10 years is too long, frankly. So we need to do something about that and find a team and find a way to get some Grace people over to Germany to visit us and to spend some time with us. I bring greetings from my wife and my children. They Seattle and Cyprus know Grace and think of this as their, you know, home church back here in the States. Daylin would love to be here with me. I would love for her to be here with me. I feel like I'm missing an arm when she's not around. But because of school and because of it's just a week turnaround trip, she's not able to be here. But I wanted to make sure and give you greetings from Daylin. I want to just say a quick word about our ministry. We do work with the American military. And so in that sense, because they come for 3 years and then leave, it's almost a little bit like a college ministry where you've got a set amount of time, they move through and then they leave, and then new people come and move through and leave, and it's just a constant in and out in the church. This year in particular is especially difficult. We have about 12 to 15 families, and this is not a large church, and about 12 to 15 families are leaving between January and July. Two of our four deacons are leaving. Now, two doesn't sound like much, but that's half of the deacons we have are leaving. So Pastor Ben said, you guys have about 15 or something in that neighborhood. Imagine seven of your deacons leaving in the next 6 months. I mean, that takes a toll on the leadership and on the workers in the church. So that's specifically something you could be praying for us about. God is blessing and working, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be serving there, but we do face some challenges this summer. We appreciate and count on your prayers for us. We would love to be in regular touch with you. I've been running since last week and haven't got a PowerPoint together, but if you would email me, I would love to add you to our prayer list. So my email address is Pastor Dwayne, which you can find the spelling of my first name in the bulletin there, at HPBC, which is for High Point Baptist Church. You guys got that. High Point Baptist Church, hpbc.me. Me, not me, but that's the cheap web address we could find, so that's what we've got. Love to, if you'd email me and let me know that you'd like to be on the prayer letter list, we'd love to have you add you to that. If you have questions or problems with the sermon or, you know, some complaints, I have a different email address for that. It starts with B-E, just like the first two letters of my last name, and then it's N@ourgrace.church. And you can just email all those questions and complaints to that email address, and I'd love to take care of it through that avenue for you. Yeah, no problem. Well, let's get into God's Word together. We're going to look at John chapter 10. We're working through the Gospel of John over in Germany at High Point. And we went through chapter 10 a few weeks ago, and this sermon just spoke so much to me. I really wanted to share it with you guys this morning. I don't think it's not traditional in my church, but every once in a while I like to do this. Would you stand with me? I want to just read a good chunk of this, if you'd stand with me while we read this passage. So I'm going to start in verse 1, read down to verse 18, and then jump to 24 to 30. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I have known the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jump down to 24. "So the Jews gathered around him and said, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the shepherd. We pray that he would speak and that we would listen. We pray in his name, amen. Thank you so much for standing for me. I can imagine what went through your head as I was reading through John 10, probably something along the lines of, "Oh good, finally a sermon on the Good Shepherd. All my Christian life I've been waiting for a pastor to finally speak on John chapter 10. I've never heard a sermon about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, and here it is. My dream has come true. I'm going to finally hear this explained." Sarcastically, of course, we've probably all heard sermons on this chapter. We've heard it talked about comparing Jesus to a shepherd and Jesus being the good shepherd. So if you'll bear with me, I kind of want to do the opposite. Instead of comparing Jesus to shepherds, I think not only does Jesus compare himself to shepherds, but he also shows how he's different from shepherds. He shows his uniqueness from shepherds, and he shows that there are things about Jesus that no shepherd anywhere can match. The first thing, I've read this passage, I've heard this passage, and it never hit me what I really believe Jesus is doing. Look in verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." Now you think about a shepherd, and there's a book that I was reading to study for this. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23, and then a shepherd looks at the good shepherd. Anybody offhand know the author of that book? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The shepherd talks about and opens up all these illustrations about the life of a shepherd and how much we understand these illustrations if you understand how a shepherd actually relates to his sheep. The thing is, every single shepherd, no matter how much he loves the sheep or cares about the sheep that he's taken care of, every single shepherd is in the shepherding business to make money. Is there for a profit. So they may love the sheep, but they also fleece the sheep. That's the point, is to take the wool. And they care for the sheep, and they give to the sheep, and they feed the sheep, but the idea is to fatten the sheep. Not ultimately just so the sheep become fat, right? But so that one day you can kill the fat sheep. One day you can fleece the hairy sheep. Or maybe you can milk the sheep. But shepherds, by the nature of their job, interact with sheep to get something from them. Yes, they love them, but they also take from them. They're involved with the sheep to get something from them. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He says, I am the good shepherd. And let me expound for you what that means. When I interact with sheep, I come to the sheep and I give them. I don't take from sheep. I'm not interacting with the sheep in my flock to take something from them. I have come, and he says, I have come to give them life. You see how beautiful that is. Jesus is saying so many sheep interact with the shepherd, and the shepherd loves the sheep, the shepherd cares for the sheep, the shepherd feeds the sheep, and then the shepherd kills the sheep. That's the way the animal industry works. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I have come not to feed them, care them, make them fat, and kill them. I have come to give them life. I have come to give them abundant life. And then he takes it a step further to what almost becomes ridiculous. Jesus, the shepherd, says, I have come not just to give them life, not just to give them abundant life, but I have come to give them my life. I have come to lay down my life so that the sheep can live. Now shepherds, I'm told, and I believe, create an emotional bond with their sheep. But at the end of the day, if it's the sheep's life or the shepherd's life, 999 of the shepherds will say, I'm sorry. My life ultimately is more important than your life. I will do what I can to protect you. I will do what I can to save you. But when it comes down to it, and frankly, I would question the sanity of a shepherd that was willing to die for each and every one of his sheep. At some point, you have to cut your losses and say, it's me or a sheep. The sheep's going to die, and I'm going to live. Jesus says, I have come to give them life, I've come to give them abundant life, and I've come to give them my own life. What kind of love is that? What kind of a shepherd is that? That lays down the life of the shepherd for the life of the sheep. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us is, yes, I am a shepherd, but I am unlike any shepherd you have ever known. I am a shepherd who's willing to trade my life so that the sheep live, instead of taking the life of the sheep, taking the fleece of the sheep, taking the milk of the sheep. So he stands out from other shepherds because he loves the sheep so much that he's willing to give his life for them. Now, I said 999, and maybe you're thinking, well, I know this one shepherd. I bet he would die for his sheep. So maybe Jesus isn't that unique. And yet we read quite a bit down there in verse 29 and 30, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. Here Jesus is again saying, listen, I am unique. I am unlike any shepherd you have ever known before. I and the Father are one. In other words, I am God. I am the Creator. The shepherd who wrote these books and helped us as Christians and helped us as pastors understand a lot of these analogies of what it means when Jesus or David says, the Lord is my shepherd, or when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Shepherds have studied sheep. Shepherds have watched sheep, and they've learned from sheep. But no shepherd anywhere ever has created and designed a sheep, has put them together and has understood and created who they are and what they are. Only God has created sheep. As I'm speaking, I'm remembering London? No, Dublin and the sheep that was cloned. But that doesn't count because God had already created it and then they just recloned it. Okay, so if you're thinking that doesn't count. Only God has created sheep. Only God has made sheep. So Jesus is saying, I love the sheep. I'm willing to give my life for the sheep. But also, I created the sheep. I made you. I haven't just studied you. I haven't just figured out what you are and how you act and what's going on inside of you. I designed you. So he knows you from the top down. He knows every single part of you as the shepherd. He hasn't figured it out. He hasn't watched you or observed you. He created you. And then he goes on, we didn't read this yet, but if you go to the end of the chapter, go to verse 37. If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So then he points to his works and he says, my works set me apart from any other shepherd. My love for the sheep sets me apart. My identity as God, the Creator, sets me apart. And my works set me apart. My works, it's kind of turning the second point upside down. So he is the Creator and he knows you from top down, but he's also saying, not only am I the Creator, but I, Jesus, the person standing in front of you, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. I am God standing here before you. Which means that not only does God know you because he created and designed you, but God knows you because he became a human and lived the life of a sheep. Do you see from top to bottom how well the shepherd knows you? Not only did he design you and kind of stand at a distance and say, I appoint and I decree that is who and what you will be. But then he drew near, and John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The shepherd. So we've already talked about the lunacy of a human shepherd to say, I'm going to trade my life so that this one sheep can live. I'm going to give up my life. We would question the sanity of such a shepherd. And yet here is a shepherd, and the illustration is now for a shepherd to say, in order to fully understand and in order to fully identify with my sheep, I'm going to give up my humanity and I'm going to take on the fur and the flesh. Fur, it's not called fur, is it? The wool and the flesh of a lamb. I'm going to become a sheep so that not only have I designed them, but I have lived among them. If such a shepherd who loves you enough to die for you, who knows you enough because he's created you and designed you, and who has identified with you so much that he has become like you, has given up the grandeur of his place in heaven to live in flesh beside you. If such a shepherd, if you were lucky enough to have such a shepherd say, I will be your shepherd, I will lead you, I will guide you, you would be a raving fool not to follow that shepherd. Who else deserves to be your shepherd? Who else deserves for you to listen to them? What other voice is there that's more qualified, that loves you more, that knows you more, that understands who you are, what you need, and where you need to go? Then Jesus Christ, who in John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd and I have come to call my sheep. Would you look at verse 3 with me? It says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The very first question I want to ask is, have you heard the voice of the good shepherd calling your name? It's right there in the text. The sheep hear his voice. Have you heard his voice? And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Have you heard the good shepherd calling your name? I don't want you to hear the question, are you saved? Because I've lived in Chattanooga. And I understand not only in this sanctuary, but practically anywhere you go, if you ask the question, are you saved? It's, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, sure, I'm saved. So I'm not saying, are you saved? Can you go a little deeper than that with me? Have you heard the voice of the good shepherd? Not have you been part of a church, or have you attended Grace, or do you know what a, are you a Baptist? Have you heard his voice? Has God called you? Has Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, say, Dwayne, come follow me? Have you heard Jesus Christ call you to follow you? If you say, I know I'm saved, but I don't think I've ever heard Jesus call my name. I don't think I've ever heard Jesus call me to come follow me. Sometimes I think the things we tell ourselves of I'm saved, it means I know answers to a bunch of questions. And nowhere in the Bible does it say if you know the right answers to a bunch of questions, you are saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the voice of your shepherd. Jesus makes it absolutely clear throughout this whole chapter that if you are his sheep, you will hear his voice. So if I ask, have you heard his voice, and you are not sure, that is something to wrestle with. So verse 3, he says, I call my sheep, and they hear my voice, and I call them by their name. And then verse 4, it says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, if you say, yeah, I can remember, I know a time that I heard the voice of my shepherd calling me, and I responded to the voice of Jesus Christ calling me. If you haven't, there are people all over this room who have heard the voice of Jesus calling their name. Find someone that you know and that you trust that you can talk to. I would love to talk to you. Pastor Ben would love to talk to you. But if you don't feel like you know us well enough, find someone that you do know well enough. But if you would say, yeah, I've heard that voice. I know what you mean. I've responded to Jesus calling me. Then verse 4 comes. And verse 3 says, Jesus calls him by name and they hear his voice. And then verse 4 says, and he leads them and they follow him. So where are you on verse 4? Are you following the voice of the good shepherd? Can you still hear the voice of the good shepherd? When you try to think back the last time you heard your shepherd talking to you, the last time you heard your shepherd leading you, how far back do you have to go? When was the last time the beautiful voice of our shepherd spoke to you and led you and guided you? When's the last time you followed the voice of your shepherd? Daylin and I love the show Survivor, and you can judge me for that. I understand you probably do. But we love the show Survivor. And one of the challenges they do almost every season is they divide them into three teams, and they have a caller here, and they've got all these obstacles, and everyone else is blindfolded. So the three callers are shouting out instructions to their teammates. And of course, it's funny to watch because people are running into things and people don't know where to go. And they're trying to hear in some people's voices. They can't distinguish a voice because the other people have louder, more dominant voices. And it's always a good time to watch. So many of us live in a perpetual state of trying to hear Jesus's voice with all the cacophony of other voices being shouted out around us. I don't know if you've traveled outside of America, but you have more voices in America than probably anywhere else in the world. It's almost overwhelming stimulation coming back to America. I love America, and I realize that sounds like a bitter missionary complaining about America. I love America, but you have so many voices shouting at you. You have so much advertising. You have so many cultural influences. You have so many news outlets. Is there really that much news going on? That you have people, and then sports, and multiple sports channels, 24 hours a day, talking about people playing games. It blows my mind. And you have to hear all of that. And all of that is shouting. And what Jesus is saying is in the midst of all this noise, you have to distinguish. And as a sheep, you have to be able to hear the voice of your good shepherd. There's no other voice you want to hear. We have a yellow lab named Dover. Dover is probably the sweetest dog I've ever met. We love our dog Dover to death. He's a little chubby. He takes after his papa. And so me and Dover, we both like our food. Dover knows feeding times, 7 in the morning, 5 in the evening. And when it's feeding time, Dover will come and get me. I don't feed him, but he's smart. He comes and he gets me, and with his eyes, he tells me to tell my son, who does feed him, to go feed him. And he bothers me until I tell Seattle, and then he knows. Seattle gets up, and he gets all excited, and he and Seattle walk to the door because the food is downstairs. I love to mess with Dover, because once Seattle opens the door to go downstairs to our basement to get his food, Dover is tuned in like a missile on every single noise that Seattle makes on his way. He knows the door opening. He can hear Seattle's feet going downstairs. We have it in a little bucket, and he can hear the bucket being opened. He can hear the scoop of the food. He hears the food going into his bowl, and his excitement just escalates with every single noise. So, being a good dog owner, I like to stand beside him and be like, Dover, come here. Hey, Dover, what you doing? And usually, if you say his name, he's on you because he wants to be petted, he wants attention, but not when his food is being gotten. Then he looks at me with this tortured face like, not now. I'm trying to listen to my food. And it creates such joy in my heart to torture him. And to try to get his attention and to try to distract him, because you see this turmoil like, oh, you're my master and you're calling me, but I need to listen. I need to listen. It's amazing how much dogs can communicate, isn't it? I swear that's what he's saying. Isn't that a beautiful illustration, though? I need to listen. Don't distract me. I can't listen to you right now. I have something that I have to hear. Oh, that we, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, would be like Dover, and with all of these voices shouting into our ears, that we would say, don't distract me. Don't talk to me right now. Don't get my attention on that. I can't listen to you. I can't come to you. I have to hear my shepherd. I have to listen for his voice. I have to do what he tells me to do. There's no one else who loves me like he does. There's no one else who knows me like he does. There's no one else who identifies and has lived and walked in my shoes. I have to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. In this context, when he says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers, and they came to steal and to kill and destroy, how true the words of our shepherd are. There are so many voices out there, and if you spend some time listening to them and following them, it doesn't take long before you realize these people don't love me the way my shepherd loves me. They don't have good for me in mind like my shepherd does. Where have they led me? What have they given to me? They come to steal. They come to kill. They come to destroy. And one of the worst voices that will steal and kill and destroy you is your own voice. I mean, we can talk about Satan, and we can talk about the Muslims and the atheists and the liberals. Up in the South, that works, right? But the voice you need to watch out for isn't the Muslim's voice. You're not going to follow the Muslim's voice. And frankly, it's probably not the liberal's voice that you need to worry so much about. The voice that you and I need to worry about every single day is our own voice telling us, follow this, go after this, pursue this, leave your shepherd. This is better. This is better. That's better. And we need to tell ourselves, be quiet. I have to listen to the voice of my shepherd. I preached this, I think, the end of April. So we've been about 2 Sundays since then. We've covered John 12 and John 13. And so with this sermon and thinking about Jesus' command to hear his voice, and his offer to be a shepherd to those who will follow, started asking myself, okay, There's no other voice that I trust as much as Jesus's. My own, other religious leaders, the voices that I hear in the world, I want to hear the voice of my shepherd. So Jesus, whatever you're telling me to do, I want to hear it and I want to do it. And then you put those glasses on and the book of John becomes this beautiful experience of your shepherd talking to you and leading you. So we came to John chapter 12. You want to turn over there with me, please? You know this verse. The Greeks come, they want to see Jesus, and Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." Do you hear the voice of your shepherd? This is the shepherd who wants to give you and wants to give me abundant life. And what is his voice saying? Come and die. Fall to the earth and die. And my voice says, no, 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 no. That's not abundant life. But the voice of my shepherd says, come follow me. I am going to lay down my life. But I don't lay my life down so you don't have to lay your life down. I laid my life down and you get to follow me and lay down your life. Come and die. Follow me to death. Lay down your life. And then you get to chapter 13. Verse 14. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Do you hear the voice of your good shepherd? I serve. I kneel down before people and I wash the filth off of their dirty feet. Come follow me. My little lambs, come do what I'm doing. If I did it, you do it. Find people. Find needs to meet. Find people to serve. And then he continues in the end of the chapter, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And again, we hear the voice of our good shepherd talking to us, telling us exactly where he wants to lead us. There's some subjective, God, help me to hear your voice. Help me to know if I should do this or do that. And those ought to be prayers, and those ought to be times that you're asking God for guidance and asking God for direction. But there are some things that aren't subjective at all. Your good shepherd has called you to lay down your life and die. Your good shepherd, who wants to give you abundant life, has called you to find the dirty, to find the needy, to serve them. Your good shepherd, who wants to give you abundant life, has called you to love one another just as he loved us. This is the voice of our shepherd. What voice are you going to listen to? What voice is going to tell you what's important in life and what you're going to do with your life and what you're going to pursue and what's going to be a priority? I can tell you, that's not the voice that's going to be shouted into your ears around you. You're only going to hear that from Jesus. Would you pray with me? What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. What wondrous love that we have a creator who has designed us and made us, and then has taken on flesh to become like us. We have a shepherd who loves us enough to die and to give instead of to kill and to take. Oh God, may we listen to no other voice. May we learn to hear the voice of our good shepherd. God, as you, through Jesus, call us to lay down our life and die, and you call us to kneel down on our knees and serve, and you call us to open up our hearts and love, I pray that the voices in our head that want to keep us from doing those things, that like beautiful Dover, we would ignore them. We would stay focused on the voice of our good shepherd. God, you know that we have talked about this so many times, that I struggle to follow my Savior, that I fight against the voice that I know loves me, the voice that I know has good for me, and yet I want to do other things and I want to go other places. So I pray in my own life, God, that you would again renew my commitment to hear and to follow the voice of Jesus Christ. And God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come back to these dear people at this church that I love so much. I pray that they would hear the voice of their shepherd. I pray that as Pastor Ben and the leaders and deacons lead this church, that they would hear the voice of their shepherd. I pray that as these people make decisions in the months and years to come, that it would be motivated by hearing the voice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for this time to share my heart with my friends. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you keep your heads bowed just for a minute as we musicians start playing? And just the questions, have you heard his voice this morning? It was one of Dwayne's first questions. You have to know him. You have to know him. Are you listening to him carefully and intently? And then are you obeying? Are we submitting? Are we loving one another? Are we serving one another? So as you contemplate those questions this morning, as we sing, I pray that you just open your heart to the Lord and let him do a work. There'll be some pastors around the front here and in the foyer if you would rather speak to someone a little more private in the lobby. But would you stand with me? Let's pray, and then we'll sing. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your messenger this morning. We thank you that you're the good shepherd. You know our name. May we listen to you. May we listen for you to speak. And may we obey. May we obey with all our heart.
Through it all, you remain. Through it all, you never change. Your plans are true. More than enough.
from the foyer ready to meet with anybody who'd like to talk with him, but I know he can hear us out there. But isn't it great having Dwayne here today? Just want to thank him for coming in. And as we thank Dwayne for sharing with us, if you're down here on the floor and you can look up at any of the cameras around, just go ahead and say, hey, Beaches. Dwayne's family, Daylin, Cypress, Seattle, are all watching, so we want to say hi to them. I know they're watching because Dwayne showed me the text they were sending him earlier on. And his wife was happy that I didn't talk about his bottom like the seniors. And some of y'all are like, why did we vote for this guy? And some of you have bumper stickers to say that, and I didn't vote for him. But anyway, so great to have all of you here today. Reminder, starting at 5 o'clock tonight or whenever you can make it down at Faith United Baptist Church, we're going to be continuing canvassing for VBS. We're excited that we're expecting quite the turnout down there, and so excited about that partnership. Also, as a reminder, we've got ushers at the doors. If you want to give just kind of a thank you, love offering to Dwayne and his family and ministry, you can hand that in there. Anything that's undesignated will go to him. Also, the Faith Promise cards are available throughout the foyer there as well. So thank you all for being here. Thanks to Dwayne in the back for sharing with us. And may we go thinking of these questions, listening to the Shepherd's voice, the Good Shepherd's voice. And with that grace, it is time to go.